You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and The Step Back. Today, it is Tuesday, October 10th, and the Cleveland Cavaliers face the Chicago Bulls tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN in their second-to-last preseason game. They will wrap up their preseason schedule on Friday against the Orlando Magic before kicking off the regular season next Tuesday against the Boston Celtics and that Kyrie Irving guy who maybe is going to have a weird return to Cleveland next week. But, you know, it's not like he demanded a trade or anything this summer. But the other news that is important with this Cavs game is that LeBron James is back. LeBron James, who has not played in the preseason yet because of an ankle injury, because the Cavs were being very slow to bring him back because there's just not a need to play him on in the preseason, will start. He will start a small forward, and the Cavs are going to go with this starting lineup as announced by Ty Lue yesterday in saying a specific person that's going to start. It's going to be Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade at shooting guard, LeBron James at small forward, Jay Crowder at power forward, Kevin Love at center. That means Tristan Thompson, Jeff Green, J.R. Smith are going to be some of your main guys off the bench. And this is a look of what you're going to get throughout the year. Isaiah Thomas's eventual return certainly will change those. I think he fits best as a starter, depending on what you do with Wade. But this is what the Cavs are going to roll with. You'll see other guys as well in this team. Jumper, when he gets back, is certainly somebody that will be there. But it looks like Channing Frye, you know, is out of the rotation. Richard Jefferson seems out of the rotation. Will Jose Calderon get minutes? We'll see. Tonight, I think, will give us a lot of questions because this is a preseason game, and yet one that has some injury. I'm going to give you three things to watch. Number one, let's look at the starting lineup. How does this new starting lineup mesh in its first live game together? LeBron has played with Wade, of course. They know each other. They're great friends, aside from already having played together and won titles in Miami. But LeBron is playing with Crowder for the first time. LeBron is going to be starting with Kevin Love at center for the first time. He's going to be playing with Derrick Rose in a live game for the first time. This is a different starting lineup. I mean, just three of the five guys from last year that started are no longer starting. Kyrie is obviously on a different team. JR is on the bench. Tristan Thompson coming off the bench. Of the main starting lineup we've seen the last year and a half, 2 years with the Cavs, it's different, and it's going to be adjustment for LeBron. I think Jonathan Cherkis of The Ringer had a really good piece up. I can't think it came out on Monday or came out on Sunday that argued that LeBron is going to have to do more of the dirty work this year. I think that's true. I think Crowder is going to have to do a lot. I think Love's going to have to do a lot there, but I think LeBron's going to have to do some of that stuff, and let's see how that mesh. Wade is announced by Lou, is going to start. That means starting five of Rose and Wade, LeBron, Crowder, Love. It's not a lot of spacing in your backcourt, so there's less shooting around LeBron, and I don't love that. I think you want at least two shooters around LeBron at all times. So unless Love's going to hang outside the three-point line a lot, which he probably will, unless Wade's going to hit threes, unless Rose is going to hit threes, unless Crowder is going to remain the level of shooter he was last year, I think you have some spacing in terms of that starting lineup. Now, for me, I think Wade is best served as a bench leader. I think it's still plausible to have him play something similar to that role on this team, even if he starts, but it's an interesting question of how you get there. It's a little bit harder to adjust those things now. Are you going to sub him on early? Are you going to bring JR in for him? Are you going to play him at point guard some? I really think the best way this year, at least while Isaiah is out, because I think when Isaiah is back, that changes things, and that's going to be a big question the Cavs will face, because Isaiah, they're not going to view him just like Kyrie. I mean, we'll see if the offense actually changes. That's another thing to watch tonight, but I think the best use of Wade on this team is really pairing him with Love on a bench unit, surrounding them with shooting. So you play Korver, who I forgot in the rotation. You play Green. You play Thompson. You have the two bigs there. And just do something like that where you're a little bit longer. You have shooting. And you still have rebounding. But Wade can kind of get his off. He can shoot. He can attack. He can work with Love. You can give Love some elbow touches and some creation duties. that they've already done that in the preseason a little bit, and I think for him, that maximizes what he can do, and I think it keeps him away from Rose. The Cavs are not taking that approach. We'll get into more what Rose's role seems to be, but it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. I'm curious to see if that will change. The starting lineup is really interesting. We'll see again if the offense has adjusted in a way. I mean, to me, it has looked different in the first couple of preseason games. I wrote about it a little bit, but it's really hard for me to say this is exactly what they're going to do when LeBron hasn't played yet. And I mean, Love did some really cool stuff off the elbow. They're pushing the pace more, which is interesting. I think they're not being as methodical and they're not pounding the ball as much as they might have. But we will see if things change with this team for real. Secondly, this bench unit, that's again a different group than what we've seen, is going to be a really interesting thing as well. For starters, Lou said on Monday that Rose is going to sub out early. Now, that means he's going to come in and run the second unit, and it's a question of who is going to sub in for him. There are a couple options. You could sub in Tristan Thompson as your first guy off the bench, go to that two bigs lineup that has really worked, that front court that is still a good front court, put Love back at power forward, and then you go LeBron, Wade, Crowder, Thompson, and Love. You could do that, and I think that could work, especially against teams that are a little bit bigger. I think the other option, and the one that I kind of hope they use, because I think it's kind of would be kind of more of an ideal starting lineup almost, would be you bring in J.R. Smith for Derrick Rose. You give yourself that shooting. You give yourself Wade can run the point. J.R. can defend points. LeBron and Crowder can obviously defend different forwards, and you still have Love at center. You know, Crowder's really going to have to rebound in all of these lineups, but I think the JR in for Rose there makes some sense. And what is the second unit really going to look like? You know, are they going to stash a starter to go there? I mean, Rose technically is going to be a starter, but is it going to be LeBron or a Wade or a Love that kind of ends up anchoring one of those bench units? Or are we going to see LeBron playing mostly with starters this year? These are just questions we don't know yet. I think Lou is going to have to tinker as things go on and kind of tinker and adjust lineups as he sees what works and what doesn't, because these guys are playing together for the first time. And it could look completely different in 2 weeks. Like, it wouldn't shock me if, you know, maybe Wade's not coming off the bench in 2 weeks, but maybe he's coming out when Rose comes out and they're bringing in JR and Korver early, or JR and Tristan early, and they kind of go back to something where it's like LeBron running point with JR nominally defending points or something like that. Like, that wouldn't shock me. But this bench unit is going to be really interesting, because it seems like they're going to trust Rose to kind of lead it, at least some, and I really just want to know who they're going to sub in with. I think Love still makes some sense there. I think that the team as constructed, as much as LeBron has been the carrier of bench units the last couple years, I think Love's role this year really could be carved out doing that. It's something he and Kyrie Irving, really neither of them succeeded at. They didn't really have a chemistry in doing that, and I think some of that falls on Lou. I think if you can get someone to help run that second unit, and again, Isaiah's going to help this when he comes back, and you'll still have Wade, and you'll have Love, and you'll still have all these guys, so that's a good problem to have, especially if Isaiah is healthy. But I think how they supplement Rose and kind of how the second unit looks is going to be something really interesting to watch here. Okay, and look, LeBron at the start of second quarters with bench units was killer in the 16 finals run. It has always been something that has been a staple of these teams. It has kind of been one of the reasons some of those guys play really, because LeBron just elevates you to a degree, and other guys haven't. They haven't just been able to hit those levels or anything close to when LeBron off. There's been that cratering when LeBron sits, and that's a problem the Cavs have to solve. LeBron, and especially in the regular season, cannot just play every minute. In the finals, that's a different thing, but in the regular season, you need to kind of be able to give him functional rest in games. He can't play 38 minutes a game, 37 minutes a game. Again, I don't think. And that's another thing. Like, how much is LeBron really going to play? I think we'll get a better answer of that come the regular season, because I don't even know how much they're going to play on Tuesday. So that's worth watching as well. I mean, and look at this. Will Jose Calderon get minutes? Will T.T. Love be a part of bench? Will bench heavy units with Love being the only starter? Maybe with Rose, maybe with Wade. These are things we have to see. So Tuesday, if anything, more so than how the starting lineup looks, and just on the equal footing of how the starting lineup looks in my mind, this is the first look at what the bench looks like. Lou has talked about using 10-man lineups, or 10-man rotations, excuse me, so we'll see who actually gets minutes and how many. You know, like, is Jose Calderon really going to play? how does Amon Schumpert's absence get replaced? Do they fill it with Richard Jefferson? Do they just fill it with Chetty Osman just because he's a rookie and it's the preseason? This remains to be determined. Lastly, looking at the fringe of the roster, there are some questions that have to get answered in the next week. We are literally a week away from the start of the season. The Caps still have to cut a guaranteed contract. It seems, in my mind, it's down to Richard Jefferson and Jose Calderon. In my mind, I don't think Calderon has done enough, really, to show that he has value. Jefferson is not a great player at this point. Like I think everyone can just acknowledge that. I think he would acknowledge that, but I think if you look at what he can provide in a vacuum, I think it's more valuable than Calderon. Calderon has this thing where he's going to be able to run the offense, and he's going to be stable in doing that. He's going to be able to pass. He's going to be able to run the pick and roll, and he's going to keep things calm. But he's an awful defender. There's not really any upside to him. And I don't even think he's been that good in the preseason. I mean, you could argue Kay Felder's been better than him, and that's super troubling. Something that I thought in the summer that Felder had higher upside than him and could just be at least as good as him this year. And I think preseason has kind of made it seem that way. Jefferson can at least give you another long body. He's rebounded well. He has to shoot well in certain spots. He has the track record of being with the team in the finals. He's a really good locker room presence, him and Channing both, even though they're not particularly good roster fits anymore. Probably not in the rotation for most of the year, if at all. But I think Jefferson should be that guy, but we'll see kind of in some way how Lou is leaning. In my mind, this is the dress rehearsal. This is a look at what could be coming next week. I don't think we'll see everything. I don't even know, again, how much we'll see everybody, but you're seeing those two guys maybe duke it out for that last roster. But unless they could move him on Schumpert, unless someone else unexpectedly gets moved, I think it has to be down to those two guys in the next week. And I think I would go with Jefferson. That's what I would use at the last rosters, but I think you can supplement the point guard position, even with the injury concerns you have there. And I'll talk about that, but I think Jefferson makes sense, but we'll kind of get an idea of maybe who's ahead based on who plays and who plays earlier and who plays in what groups. I just can't see in a vacuum how Jefferson is less valuable than Calderon, but we'll see what the Cavs value. They have seemed to value having that sort of stable veteran point guard back there. That's something they've prioritized. They haven't gone after a Dele-type guard really ever since Dele left. I mean, they placed him with Deron Williams. They drafted Felder, who doesn't fit that mold either. And we'll see kind of what type of player they're kind of prioritizing at the end of that roster. Because really, I mean, you can say like, they don't really have a backup for Rose if Calderon isn't there. Because Felder is not going to be on the main roster at the very least. If he's going to be with the Cavs, it's going to be on a two-way deal. The other aspect of this is, again, who's going to fill Schumpert's minutes? He's someone that was playing with the second unit. Does that mean Chetty Osman, which I hope I'm getting closer to pronouncing correctly? Does that mean he gets minutes? He's someone that I think played really well against Washington. Had a really, really nifty pass from half court. That was certainly interesting to see, but could he fill Schumpert's minutes? Could Osman get some time there? Or does Jefferson get them? Or does John Holland get them? And just for whatever reason. Because Osman has been battling some back spasms. And I don't think he's on the injury report for today, but we'll see. And then you look at the edge of the roster. Guys who really won't be on the main function of the roster. Won't really play a big overall part in this team's story. But worth noting is that the Cavs still do have that one two-way roster spot. John Holland is going to have that spot. I wrote about him a couple weeks ago. I think he is just a insurance policy. If they have injuries at the shooting guard position, maybe some of that three. But I think if you look at the end of the roster, it has to be down to Tavares and Felder. And I think Felder probably is ahead right now. And I think people will groan when I say that. I know he's not a particularly popular figure amongst Cavs Twitter, and I understand why. He does have severe limitations. He has a lot of the work to do, but I think if you look at what he's done in the preseason, I think you've seen a guy who is seeing the game a little bit better. I think you're seeing someone who's making better reads, who is still struggling, particularly inside against NBA-sized players and not in the G League, but can offer you something there in a vacuum, especially if you're supplementing him with better players than what he's playing with at the end of games. Like, let's say they sign him to a two-way deal and you had to bring him up for 30 days because Rose is hurt or they just need backup point guard minutes before Isaiah comes back. He's someone that I think if you sub him off the bench with LeBron or Wade or just some secondary ball handling, he could pass it against teams that aren't the Warriors. Like, I think if you're looking at just eating minutes, I think he has more value. I think Tavares has the potential to be a decent NBA player. He's so big. He can block shots. He looks just still a little bit stiff. At the NBA level, he's not quite as dominating just because of his size and against lower-level athletes in the G League. But I think if you're looking at who's ahead, I mean, Tavares has barely played. They're giving Felder bigger chances. I really do think he's been better than Calderon for a lot of this preseason. You can just look at how he's kind of attacked and how he's got a shot off and just kind of doing just being more dynamic than Calderon. I think that gives him some points in my book. But Tavares has not really made a huge impact. He had a really bad game the other night, just kind of catching balls and then dropping immediately and just not really having a good touch. The Cavs will have his G League rights, if I'm not mistaken, so he could be someone who could be on Canton still. You'll still get to sign him later on in the year if you needed to. But Zizic, who's kind of been forgettable in the preseason as well, is also going to have a chance to kind of do that role. So I think Felder should be ahead. We'll see what kind of minutes he gets, against the Bulls. I think the Cavs is rostered at the end. That's a very interesting discussion. It's not nearly as interesting or as important as what's going on with the starting lineup or the bench, but there's still some big decisions for the Cavs to make at the end of the team, and to see who is going to be doing what. But that is going to be it for today's show. Those are the three things I would look for in tonight's game. We'll be back with a recap of LeBron's first preseason game and how this new starting lineup looks tomorrow. We'll likely record it on Facebook Live immediately after the game, so you can go to Fear the Sword's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/FearTheSword, and you can check out my game recap there. We'll run through some of the highlights from the game, take some questions about the game as well there, and then you can listen to it tomorrow if you missed it. But if you didn't, please check out yesterday's episode with Jason Lloyd from The Athletic. We talked about his new book, The Blueprint, Cleveland's Deliverance and the Making of the Modern NBA. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I know we've got a lot of great listens on it, just a ton of listens for us, which is fantastic. And thank you guys that have listened and gave the kind words on that. And if you like the podcast, please go to iTunes, drop a 5-star rating and review. It is the absolute best way to support this podcast. So please do that. And look for other shows this week. Eric Gunderson from Locked On Blazers, who also runs a site called The LeBron Wire, will now be on this week to talk about LeBron. William Bull from A Wolf Among Wolves will be on the show to preview Kevin Love's season and what could change for him, and if it's really kind of shocking that he's made it to year 4 with the Cavs in a lot of ways. But this is it for Locked On Cavs for October 10th. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And again, check out yesterday's show with Jason Lloyd, and we'll talk to you tomorrow after LeBron's preseason debut. And look, this is going to be an interesting week, but expect a lot to change still. Nothing with this Cavs team, in my mind, is going to be certain moving forward. There's just so much in flux, so much that has to be decided still. And tonight's our first look at what that might be. We'll talk to you tomorrow.